Week 3, 2021, Stat 196A. Two items before we get started with the content. One is to remind you about the Week 5 presentations, or the substitute for the in-class Week 5 presentations. It'd be good to start thinking about those. That's why there's a reminder here. I talked about it in the Week 0 intro, and you might want to refer back to that. On timing, it would be good to get these in by mid-May. That would clear this task out from your 10-week courses, which are going to have things due at the end of the quarter. Graduating students should be especially aware of their deadlines. Incompletes are available if you're crunched, and they're easy. I talked about how students submitted either RPUBs or slides and audio like I do, or some other form. And if you have any questions, just write me. But I think we covered it in week zero. The other item is the small addendum on overdispersion that you see on the web page for week three, or on PDF page one of the lecture slides. And that has a separate small set of PDF slides and companion audio. Those are both short. It was easier to do that as an add-on than to try to splice it in and mess up our pagination, etc. So that picks up on a topic that I touched upon in part 2A, count data, and goes a little bit further, because there's usually student questions on that that I take up separately, so I put a little bit of additional material in there. Okay, on to week three. Welcome to week three of Stat 196, Multi-Level Models Using R. I'm David Ragosa as usual, and we're at the halfway point of the course. What we've done in the first 2 weeks of the course is to go through examples. You could call them LMMs, linear mixed models, at two levels, nesting either from growth curve examples or from nested data like kids within schools. This week, we extend that to what are called generalized linear mixed models. And the extension is exactly the same as from LM to GLM. The main outcomes are now going to be either counts or proportions. 0-1 or aggregated 0-1s or pure counts instead of measured outcomes in the LMMs. We have a variety of examples, some of them thematic. We start out with dichotomous outcomes, and we have respiratory clinical trials. That's a big deal in the news, keeping lungs going. We then go across the world to contraception use in Bangladesh and some test scores, which we'll probably skip over, but I'll make mention of. And for counts, we have contagious bovine pneumonia from Ethiopia, I believe, so it's WHO themed. We have some plant data from Sydney, and then going all the way back over to Europe, melanoma data from UVB exposure. So that's a wide-ranging set of examples. We will show you mainly the GLMER function within LME4. There are other ways of doing this, and at the end I have some examples from a different package that's a little harder to use, the HGLM package. And we have the manual and the vignette and introductions linked. I'll say a few words about it because it has the actual conjugate distributions. That is, for counts, it's a gamma distribution over the Poisson distribution. And for binomials, it's a beta distribution over the binomials. And we'll explain that. That's how the variation comes to be. GLMER will follow in the LMER version, letting the random effects basically be Gaussian. And that's maybe not the most natural thing to do, but it works out okay. We'll also mention negative binomial versions, glmer.nb, although that's not used very much. You can at least know that it exists. So that's where we are as far as an overview. And we'll jump into it with going to page 2 of our PDF, the week 3 PDF. And this is a very nice Encyclopedia of Statistics and Behavioral Science article that's linked at the top of the week 3 materials. And it's a good initial read. McCullough and Nelder, who often visit Stanford, are one of the developers of generalized linear models. And here we have a collection of generalized linear models, that is, counts and proportions. Generalized linear models represent a class of fixed effect regression models for several types of dependent variables, continuous dichotomous counts. GLMs include linear regression, logistic regression, and Poisson regression. There used to be separate routines for all these sorts of things. And what we do is have the systematic part be linear or log linear, linear in the logits, linear in the log, and then have Poisson or Bernoulli variability around them. So in the old days, one might try to transform a Poisson by the square root of x plus 3/8, but that's going to mess up the error. That'll kind of linearize it, or just automatically go to a logit if you had repeated observations on a 0-1 variable. And that gives you your link function and all those sorts of things that come up in generalized linear models, whether or not they be mixed effects models or not. So it goes through a nice thing on the bottom of the first column, cluster to longitudinal data. Those are the two multi-level type applications we look at, clustered designs, longitudinal designs, et cetera, et cetera. Multi-level models, which level one observations are nested within the higher level two observations. That's exactly how we wrote it down. Higher levels are possible. And in week 4, we'll look at three-level models, both for longitudinal and for nested data. Mixed model has the fixed effects for the regressors, plus the random effects, which are how the units differ. So fixed effects are things that stay the same. Random effects are things that differ. Generalized linear mixed models, and they go through the basic formulation in this nice encyclopedia article. I commend it as a full read. That's why I wanted to start out with it. Now, from Doug Bates's wonderful workshop slides, we have simple introduction to generalized linear mixed models. Bernoulli distribution holds for binary 0-1 data or aggregated proportions, and the Poisson distribution for count data. And we're going to come back and remind you at the STAT60 level what these distributions are, what's special about them compared to measured outcomes. Mainly what's special is that they're a single parameter, so the mean and the mean and the variance depend on each other. You've seen for Bernoulli how the variance depends, and Poisson, the variance goes up with the mean, specified by the conditional mean. They're a single parameter model, so if you know the mean, you know the variance. That's not the same as a Gaussian distribution. In this generalized linear models talk, which started in the 1980s and was really an advance for statistics, basically we're going to take link functions, going to take a logit for the Bernoulli or a log for the Poisson. We're going to make the link linear in the predictors, the x's, and then let the variability be natural Poisson or binomial around that. Canonical link functions are a fancy term for saying here's the natural thing to do. And the canonical link for the Bernoulli distribution, page 6 of our PDF, or page 9 of Bates's slide pack there, is the logit. The logarithm of the odds ratio is what linearizes this. And so we're going to model eta the logit, which is the log of the mean proportion of one minus proportion, and the importance of putting that front of you, GLMER or GLM will give you results in the logit metric. So you need to exponentiate to get to the odds, and then odds over odds plus one to get to proportions, or use fitted. So remember what metric you're working in. You will get point estimates and confidence intervals in the logit metric when you run GLMER family binomial, or you'll get it in the log metric when you run GLMER family equals Poisson, and you just need to exponentiate and maybe even then transform in the proportion case back to the proportion metric or do things in the odds metric. So there's the canonical link. Basically, you are then unconstraining things. Things, instead of being from 0 to 1, go from minus infinity to infinity. So 0.5 is 0, 0.5 proportion is 0, log odds. Odds ratio equals 1, equally likely. That's page 7 of the PDF, so I'm just walking through the basic material since we have the time to do it, because if you've forgotten or had an incomplete introduction to this, it's not much point in going to the fancy stuff before we do the basics. Those of you who know all this can skip ahead. Okay, so for the Poisson distribution, page 9 of the PDF, logarithm linearizes. So the canonical link, if you take log of the distribution, you can see you've linearized it nicely, is the log. So that's the metric that GLMER will estimate in. You need to exponentiate the point estimate and the confidence interval, endpoints of the confidence interval, to get things in a useful metric. Interpretable metric, canonical link, and he goes through and derives all of this. For many of you, this is not important, but for those of you who take exponential families courses, this is the core of the material. So back to a very simple example. As I said, I wanted to go through the basics at least briefly in case you hadn't seen this sort of thing lately. So here from introductory course that I taught from a number of years, STAT 141, Introductory Statistics for Life Sciences. Towards the end, we get to do logistic regression, and we had a couple of examples. What you're trying to model is probability of success, and the easiest way to model that probability of success given as pi here. And the example is a programmer, whether they become competent after so many months of training. You hope after a while they get good at it. And so the probability of them being competent should go up as the number of months go up. X is the number of months. Y is the 0-1 outcome, success or not, competent or not. You model it linear in the logit. If you just fit least squares to the data, you may go outside 0 and 1, but if you won't be so bad in the middle. Logistic regression, doing the transformation or letting GLM do it for you, is the better way to do things, because then your outcome is constrained between 0 and 1, which is where probabilities live. Okay, so programmer example, if you fit that, you get something like that. The one that's worthwhile talking about for a moment, since we're in Northern California, is the Donner Party. And this is the one that's quite good. We have basically age and sex of the adult survivors and non-survivors of the party. Females are better able to withstand harsh conditions. Can we send them to Mars? This has been a topic for 30 years now. So we had the Donner Party data. You can find it in R. And the columns are age, male, and survival. Male is 1-0, survival is 1-0. That's our outcome. And you might ask, is it better to be female or male in terms of survival? And you'll find out it's much better to be female, relative risk being male. Males are twice as likely to die. Is that a function of age? And you can come along and fit just the simple two predictor regression, survival, which is 0-1 outcome, age in male, family equals binomial, that's the GLM. Get a summary, And fitted will give you the probability of surviving. Predict will give you the log odds, so you can see how probability of surviving is. And you might ask for a constant age according to these fit, the female and male fits, a change from female to male, that is male equals 0 to male equals 1, reduces your odds of survival by a factor of 5. That's pretty serious, and it's about the same as being 10 years older, I believe, as I remember these data. So it's fun to take a look at, but notice in GLM you get things, estimates in the log odds scale. You need to exponentiate them or go to fitted to get probability estimates, and you can ask, how does the age of survival change for males versus females, different ages, etc. And we'll use all those ideas. In the more complicated GLMER settings. But GLM is good to review, its extension. And our first GLMER example is going to be respiratory illness. Very timely in the news. This is a data set from Handbook of Statistical Analysis using R, which is a great resource. It's up to its third edition. This comes from the second edition. So it's the HSAUR2 package, but it's in 3 also. It's a reasonably famous data set. We're just going to look at the placebo group from the two-arm study, treatment versus placebo, a randomized clinical multicenter trial, and the data set is respiratory from HSAUR2. On page 13 and then 14 of our PDF. And we have a couple pages from HSAUR chapter 13 showing you the longitudinal data, then from the original. And then page 19 is my own analysis of it. And you can see install packages on page 19. So we'll jump ahead to that. That's the linked LMLIS GLMER for respiration data, placebo group. That's the linking there to show you the use of LMLIS. And so that's what we're going to do. So back to the data. And page 14 of the PDF shows you in the full study, we have 555 observations. That's 5 observations on 111 people. 57 in the placebo group, that's the group we're going to pull off and use just to illustrate a very simple GLMER before we get to treatment versus control. This is also week 2 of Stat 22, the longitudinal course, if you wanted to look even at more. And we're just going to use this as a luster of data, but of course the real clinical trials trying to figure out, just like drugs we're looking at today, whether the treatment is effective, and a randomized trial. And so we've been doing those for a long time. And C.S. Davis, 30 years ago, did it for this drug, respiratory drug. So it's data respiratory package HSAUR2. It's also in 3. And the textbook goes through that. Textbook's available online. So chapter 13 of HSAUR2, I did this. Linear mixed effects models treating respiratory illness. We also have epileptic data, which is Poisson data, which we'll use. We'll use it in the longitudinal course. We have a different count data than epilepsy. We've got enough disease today. We'll do it in cattle. Okay. Eligible patients randomly assigned active treatment or placebo, respiratory. Status was categorized at each of 4 monthly visits, and they had a baseline also. We'll use the baseline as a covariate, and what we'll do is average the 4 monthly visits just to get a level. There really isn't a trend here. You could look at it, and we do that in the more extensive examples. So 57 placebo group, no missing data, and we're going to play with that a little bit. Okay, the binary response from the original 1990 article. Potential covariates center. We have gender, baseline respiratory status, as well as age. We're just going to use a baseline. We also look at age in the longitudinal course. Okay. From Laird and Ware's book, which is very good, we really do have five observations. But you can see if you give a treatment in between the baseline, which is time one, and time two, you really can't fit a time trench for each person. So we are going to use the second, third, fourth, and fifth observations of the placebo group as to average, and then we're going to use baseline as a covariate. That's before the randomization, which takes place between times one and times two. That's typically what happens in these studies. So our logistic regression for dichotomous outcomes, we're up to the R session, which is linked, the LMList, GLMER for respiration data. It's week three of STAT 222. It's a good introduction using LMList and then GLMER. We can use LMList for counts and proportions also. Just got to pay attention to what we're getting. And this is page 19 of the PDF or the linked ASCII file, which is useful if you want to run it all. So we have the respiratory data. Now, you have to do a little bit of data manipulation. HSAUR has the code for this. But what we want to do is the data are in long form, which means that everybody has five rows. This is often how multi-level data comes. We have five observations for the female that's age 46, who's always doing poorly. Month zero, we want to pull off and make the baseline for subject number one. We really only have four observations after randomization for each subject. So we're going to do months one, two, three, and four, average those, that is fit a flat line, and keep the month zero observation as a covariate because that's before randomization. So that's all we're doing is pulling off months. We want to pull off the months greater than zero, make a baseline. We could also keep a numeric value of that. So NSTAT is just a simply done coding for poor respiratory status. And then month, we keep that. And so that gives you then for subject number one, we have 4 months observations. And we also have a baseline measure or a numerical value of that, zero, because it's poor every time. So all we did is do some data manipulation, pulling off the pre-randomization month and making that a covariate, making that another observation that we can use in our modeling. And so then we got our structure, and we can see that we actually did it successfully. We could also keep track of month if we wanted to do it numeric, but there really isn't a trend here, so we're not going to do this. Now, respiratory status, which is now labeled poor or good, which obviously has a 1-0 interpretation, LMList wants a 1 or a 0. So we need to do an as numeric, a status numeric, I called it, towards the bottom of PDF page 19, created an as numeric. GLMER sometimes requires numeric. I don't think it really does, but it's safe to use it as numeric, but you could use it as a factor also and get away with it. Okay, so we're just going to use placebo group data to pull things off. So I make a REST-P data set with, now 228 observations, 57 cases. 57 times 4 is 228. That's 4. We have 4 rows per individual now because we have baseline, a covariate. So we're good. So now we have looking like RESP just for the 57 cases in the placebo group, 228 rows, 4 rows per person. It's long form data. and they're all placebo people. I actually got it right. Subsetting is always an adventure, even though the syntax is rather easy, and there's lots of ways of doing it. I'm one that triple checks that I did it right. Okay, so at the top of page 20, or in the ASCII version of the file, we have our first actual action on the 228 rows, 57 subjects. And we want to run an LM list, just like we would for the sleep study data or for a set of schools. So the units are individuals. We have four observations per individual. And all we're going to do is get a mean. There really isn't much to model here. We want to see what the mean of status is. Maybe it's always good, which is a one, or maybe it's always poor, or maybe it's some mixture. So family equals binomial is the new thing. We're fitting a logistic regression to only 4 points, but we're asking is for a flat version, so we're not doing anything very hard for our subset of 57 cases. The coefficients you get from resp list P, the respiration LM list for placebo, is in the log odds metric. And so if I get the first 8 of them, you can see they're not between 0 and 1. They're log odds. And if you do the, if you exponentiate, you get them in the odds metric. And so let's take the third person. Who is a female, age 44. I have it boxed on PDF page 20. The odds LM list gives are 3. So an odds of 3 is a proportion of 3 out of 4, right? 3 over 3 plus 1 gets you from odds to proportion. And indeed, 3/4 is correct. Went from good to poor, which isn't such a great thing for her, but it at least validates we did LM list correctly. So LM list would give you a log odds of 1.098, which is an odds of 3. E to the 1.1 is 3. And that represents the third observation, third unit, which has 4 observations, 3 of them goods, 1 of them poor. 3/4, good. Okay. So we could then use those LM list coefficients to get ourselves a quick distribution of how many in the placebo group were greater than a half in terms of good status, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the use of LM list. So we would get it down to 57 rows, each with a mean of their outcome, either in the odds metric or in the log odds metric, depending on how you wanted to do it. Oh. Sorry for the continuity there. I had to do an emergency cough and clicked poorly in order to pause. We are in the middle of our LM list example for Bernoulli, and on page 20 of the PDF, we have done our LM list, and now we're going to fit a flat line to each subject, dichotomous observations, to get an average for each subject, and then an average for the group. So we have a collection of 57, basically flat trajectories over time, or 57 means would be an easy way of saying it. And we want to get an idea of what's typical, the variability, and perhaps if there's any predictors of level, such as baseline, which we'll find out is a pretty good predictor. So our first LMER is going to be a very, very simple model composed of a level 1 model, which says fit a flat line to each person's four observations, months 1, 2, 3, and 4, just fit an average, fit a flat line, take the average. That's the one bar subject part of it. And then give me no predictors, just give me a mean overall. LMList could give you a good estimate of the mean also by just averaging the log odds metric and generalizing up. Summary RESP LMERA will give you an idea of variability and typical in the log odds metric. So we get a variance over subjects. The variance is reasonably large, 57 subjects, 4 observations each subject. 4 rows for each subject. Fixed effects, the estimate is -4,588, which in the odds is 0.62, which in proportion is going to be about a little more than a third. That is the placebo group isn't doing all that great. We can get a nice confidence interval for that odds. The odds is 0.6. The confidence interval is between 0.25 and 0.139. That's a pretty wide confidence interval because we haven't pinned things down very well. And you could bootstrap it instead. And you can see even that the mean level could well be above 0.5. Bootstrap pretty much agrees with poor fall likelihood here. And so we got an idea of typical, and the variability is relatively large. Standard deviation is 2.5 for the odds of being good. So to extend this just a little play data a little bit, take a look at baseline status as a predictor. If you know someone's baseline status, do you have a better idea of how they're going to proceed during the actual trial? Since around the placebo, you'd expect knowing one observation probably helps you. And so here we bring in a level 2 fixed effect where the mean of the subject's 4 observations may be related to baseline. You can do the substitution, family equals binomial, and you then will find baseline good, that is having a good baseline, seems to increase your outcome a great deal, certainly significantly. And if you look at the improvement of odds, it's quite substantial. And if you take an ANOVA comparing the small model to the extended model, LMERB adds placebo adds baseline, excuse me, to the placebo group, then we get a very high significance. So we can see we can do the same sorts of things. This is just a very gentle introduction to it, where using baseline as a predictor of the level, outcome level for these dichotomous observations helps you a whole lot. So that's, and you can, of course, then get the confidence interval and see how much moving from baseline poor to baseline good increases your odds. And it's between 6 and 200, which is pretty wide. That's probably a good place to break for a moment. We're about 30 minutes in, and we'll go on and do the extended binomial example, the contraception data in Bangladesh, which we do have a modeling guide to, I believe. Yeah, on page 26 of the PDF. You might want to print that out. Have it. It's my guide to not getting brain freeze when I try to explain it. So I'll be using that. I think that's also, that might be linked. Yeah, contraception. There's a GLMER model slide and in our session and Bates's description of it. We'll pretty much follow his analysis. It's good to do that once. This is from the Bates overview from MLM Rev. And so we'll come back to contraception use in Bangladesh in part two. Thank you very much.